Super Talk 99.7 WTN. It is 12:36. I'm Pamela Furr in for Dan Mandis. Y'all, you cannot make this up. You know, the polls are open. By the way, we'll talk about sexual allegations and the latest people to fall. That's coming up. We're going to talk about the bullied boy out of Knoxville and some of the controversy actually now surrounding that. That's a little crazy. We're going to talk about Tennessee dropping on the list of healthiest states. We're way down there we're not number one, we're not number 10, we're not number 30, we're not even number 40. We are way down that list of being healthy, and that's not good. So we're going to talk about that too coming up. But you can't make this stuff up, y'all. So today the polls are open in Alabama. We all know that. And of course, the candidates have to vote. They're going to vote. So Doug Jones voted, I think, already. And Roy Moore voted in, Gallant, Alabama. Or I don't think it's Gallant. I think it's Gallant. Because you are in Alabama. Sorry. So how do you think he wrote in to the polls to cast his vote today? Ladies and gentlemen, he rode in on a horse. I'm a cowboy. Oh, yeah. On a steel horse I ride. Tell me that doesn't come to mind when you think of Roy Moore riding in on a horse. And by the way, you want to know what his horse's name is? You want to take a guess? Because if you follow Roy Moore, you might know. His horse is
Lolita?
It is not. You did not just say that. Was that on the air? Oh, my gosh. No, it was not Lolita. That would not... No, the horse's name is Sassy. Now, isn't that just rich? You can't make this up. Well, I mean, you can either look at this, if you hate Roy Moore, you can look at this as the gall of the man to show up riding a horse to vote. He did it in the primary, too, by the way. This is not the first time he's done it. But then you can turn around if you're a fan of Roy Moore and go, the cojones it takes to be a cowboy riding on into the ballot to vote at the polls. You know, I mean, it's just, you can't make this stuff up. I think that's hilarious. Now, I got to turn the volume down on my phone. I got to tell you that I had an aha moment, maybe just, I mean, not even what, 10 minutes ago? Belle's a witness. I truly stood here stunned that this memory popped back into my head. All these months that we've talked about sexual allegations, we've talked about women coming forward why didn't they come forward 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, what have you? Why are they just coming forward now? And I've been very critical of women who haven't complained at all, but then suddenly they decide to complain.
Yeah, but that's the thing. This isn't comparable because you did exactly what you should have.
Well, I hadn't told the story yet. Stand by. And in most cases, I mean, if ever I've been, quote, sexually assaulted, I either go, okay, look, or if a guy gets a little too handsy and I don't like it, I say, okay, look, I don't like this. I'm not comfortable with this. Please don't do that again. And if it's in the workplace, it's if you do it again, I'm going to report you. So don't do it again. Or if it's in my social life, you do it again, I'll kick you in the nads. I'll kick you in the jimmy. You know, whatever the case may be. You know, you do this again, I'm going to show your wife. I've had to do that before. Because for whatever crazy, stupid reason, I get pictures. Men will take just randomly send me pictures of their, you know what?
Junk.
Their Jimmy.
Their stuff.
You know? Why? I mean, I think I've said this before. I'm going to give you a little hint, guys. Women do not find that attractive. We're different than men. You guys are visual. We are not. I mean, yeah, I like a shirtless cowboy, not Roy Moore. I like a shirtless firefighter, cowboy kind of thing. I like a nice chest. Yes, but that doesn't do for us what a shirtless woman would do for you. I'm just going to leave it at that. If y'all, if you didn't know this, I'm filling you in on this today. I would think you're an adult audience. I would think you would know this already. So stop sending naked pictures of yourself. That's not a we look at it as utilitarian. Can it do for me what I need it to do for me? That's it. And quite frankly, we don't have to see it to decide. I mean, well,
and even if you get pictures of a guy without a shirt on, it's not like you're just getting a picture of his chest. You're getting a photo of the whole person who doesn't happen to have a shirt on. That, I mean,
like the statue David.
Would you find it appealing if the guy just sent the picture and it was only his chest?
No.
Yeah, because you want to see the whole package. You want to see the person.
I want to see the face. I want to see what he looks like in a suit. I want to see, you know, does he have a job?
Women are much less likely to reduce men to body parts.
You are correct. It happens. Don't get me wrong. It happens. You know, Chippendale dancers come to mind. I mean, it happens. But
yeah, but even in that situation, it's still the whole guy right there in front of you dancing, you know.
So I'm telling you, my Facebook, I get hit with crap like that all the time, and it bugs me. And it bugs me even further when it's from somebody that I know. And I have to go, you do this again, I'm showing your wife. Or you do this again, I'm calling your boss. Or you do this again, yeah, I'm calling the police, you perv. You know, whatever. So, but that's me as an adult. I just had the strangest moment because, truthfully, I say a little prayer every time I open up this microphone. I'm not going to lie. I say a little prayer. God, okay, give me the right words to say. Help me, Lord, in this craft. You know, this is all these wonderful people like Phil and Michael and Dan and Ralph. They're so good at what they do. Why have you given me this opportunity? Please, Lord, allow me to make it the best that I can. It's usually what's going on in my head before I open up this microphone. And I'm saying to myself, Lord, there are so many of these women that are coming forward. Are they telling the truth? Why are they waiting so long to say anything? What in the world is going on? And I mean, it was just suddenly this name popped in my head. Remember Mr. Blankenship? And I sat here stunned.
Now, how old were you?
I think I had to have been 12.
12?
I'm thinking, oh my gosh.
So if somebody tries to rationalize that, you're really reaching.
What do you mean?
Tries to come up with some justification for that having been okay in any way, shape, or form.
No, it was not okay. It was not okay. I'll tell you what happened.
Rationality.
This man was a deacon in our church. And actually, did we call him deacons in the Assembly of God Church? I think we called him presbyters. But anyway, it was one of our guys in the church, in our Assembly of God Church. And my dad and I were doing something at the church, and Mr. Blankenship was in the office, and I don't remember the circumstances, but my dad was standing outside because my dad was he did a lot of physical stuff, labor kind of stuff. So he would always help with the landscape of the church, or he would help with this, planting trees, whatever, azaleas. I was in the office for some reason, and I think I remember saying to Mr. Blankenship, okay, I got to go. My dad is calling for me. I got to go. And he hugged me. Well, give me a hug. You know, and I'm thinking, okay, Mr. Blankenship, and I gave him a hug. The next thing I know, his mouth is on mine, and his tongue is down my throat. I'm 12 years old. And I was stunned.
That's just creepy.
Oh, yeah. And I was speechless and stunned, and I got the heck out of there. And so I'm in the truck. I'm remembering all this right now. So I'm in the truck of my dad's car. I'm in the front seat of my dad's truck. There we go. And he's like, what's wrong? Nothing. No, what's wrong?
So you were obviously, visibly like, upset by
yeah,
this.
Yeah. I'd never been kissed by a guy before. This is the 80s, y'all. I mean, this is early. Well, I wasn't, let's see. I don't want to tell you too much because I won't tell you my age, but it was the 80s, all right? I'm a little girl. I'm 12 years old. I'd never kissed a boy, let alone a grown, nasty, dirty man. You know, and that's how I'm looking at it because he had to have been in his 50s. Mr. Blankenship had to be in his 50s. He's dead now, by the way. So, what's wrong? What's wrong? Mr. Blankenship kissed me. Screech! The truck came to a halt. What?
Now, when that happened, what was your, did you think, oh, he's mad at me?
No.
Or was it like, oh, I just got Mr. Blankenship in trouble?
No, it was more stunned, ooh, that's all I could think of was, ooh.
I'm just grossed out.
And so, screech, the truck came to a halt. Mr. Blankenship kissed me. What? What do you mean he kissed you? He kissed me. Well, he just kissed you on the cheek to say goodbye when he hugged you? No. No, Daddy. What do you mean? And then when I told him, that truck did the biggest U-turn. And I don't know what happened because he's like, stay in the truck. And he got out of the truck. He went inside the church. And that's all I know. I'm going to have to ask my dad this Christmas what actually happened because we never talked about it again. Didn't have to. I knew my daddy took care of me. Give me a minute. Having an emotional moment. I just remembered that. So now I have a reason to say I can sympathize with some of these women who are coming forward today. So let's say, now I'm putting this scenario in my head. Let's say that Mr. Blankenship decided today, if he were still alive, that he was going to run for office. Wouldn't it be an obligation for me to come out and say, well, this happened to me? Now, the difference is, at the time, I was 12 years old. I went to my dad. I told my dad.
And you were immediately believed.
He immediately
went to address it.
Immediately went to address it. Again, I don't know what happened. I have to ask my dad when I go home this Christmas, because look at me, I'm tearing up. I just remembered this. This is all organic, very organic. So would I not then have the obligation to come forward with my story and say, look, this was 30 years ago, but he was a perv. He did do this to me. Now, I would also contend that if it was 30 years ago, and he did something that stupid, perhaps God has changed his life. Let's see the work of the rest of his life. Does he have a fantastic family? Have there been any other little girls from that church that, you know, have popped up and said, now, I do know this, he was kicked out of the church. Now, I don't know if it was because of what happened to me. Were there other little girls? I don't know. I have no idea. But what if this... So I can sympathize with some of these women if it happened.
Well, there's also a really well-known saying that the best indicator of future actions is past behavior.
Very much so. I will say
that doesn't mean somebody can't change, but
of course,
traditionally
people can
change. They are slow to do so.
Well, but I also believe in a God that can change you in a second, in a split second. And I've seen it happen in people's lives. I will say this, though. I said something then. Did the 14-year-old or 16-year-old that had the yearbook in the interview that she gave or the press conference, the original one that she gave, she made the statement, something to the effect of, I was afraid to say anything. I was afraid my boyfriend would find out. That was one of the things that she said. I was afraid my boyfriend would find out. He was abusive.
Wait a minute. She was afraid the boyfriend would find out that he signed her yearbook?
No. That Roy Moore. This is the guy that signed the yearbook that also supposedly sexually assaulted her behind the restaurant.
Okay, gotcha,
the same
gotcha.
Woman. Same
gotcha.
Woman. So he was afraid. She was afraid that the boyfriend would find out that she got in the car with Roy Moore and then he sexually assaulted her. That she, the boyfriend would be mad at her that she even got in the car or something.
Oh, like it was her
effect.
Fault that
yes,
it happened.
Correct, correct. So that's what. But see, did she tell anybody at the time? That's the difference. I told somebody at the time. Now there are 12-year-olds that may not say anything. They're so scared that it freaks them out. But parents notice, don't they? That some again. So
well, yours obviously did. He was pressing you as to what was wrong.
Well,
with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and boy, again, when I say that truck came to a screeching halt, it came to a screeching halt. Maybe that's the reason why my dad taught me, you know, now that I, because I've said all along, my dad taught me how to smack somebody or kick him. And I keep saying this, and I'm not being facetious, kick him in the nads. If you need to defend yourself, that's where you go. And then you run, you know, or you smack him upside the head. And I've done that. And maybe this is what it came out of. I'm going to have to ask my dad because that memory, I guess I suppressed it until just that moment. So sorry for having an emotional moment. I guess your Dan Mandises and Phils and Michaels and Ralphs don't do that very often. I hate that I'm no, a girl and that happened. But
Dan cries all the time. Does,
anyway, so but now I'm a little bit more sympathetic to a point. If these women would have come forward when he was up for nomination for the Supreme Court of Alabama, where were they then? He's been in the limelight for years when he was defending the Ten Commandments and that statue in front of one of the building, a courthouse down there. Where were these women then? That is, unless they, like me, suppressed it for so long. I mean, how long have we been talking all this stuff? And I didn't even recall until just this second. That was just as organic as it could be. So, I'm gonna leave it open for that possibility. But there are also all of these other hashtag Me Toos that I'm just not buying. It's 12:53. I think we're way late. I'm Pamela Furin for Dan Mandis on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.